Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Let's go.
Kick it.
Your pop-up celebration of all things soccer.
Football.
Bringing the world together.
Bringing our communities together.
Let's go.
Joining us on Kick It today is a fellow Joy broadcaster, podcaster, Conrad Brown, who's co-host of Outtakes, a wonderful film review program on Joy, which happens to be usually in the same spot that we are here on Kick It, whilst Outtakes is taking a very well-deserved break. Conrad Brown, welcome.
Thank you so much. Lovely to be here.
So I reached out to Conrad to ask, do you have a favourite sports film that you've come across that you could come and talk about on Kick It? And Conrad, what did you decide on and why?
I recommended to you a film that we reviewed and were fortunate to interview the filmmaker behind it from July 2021 called Steelers, which is a documentary that looks at the world's first gay rugby club based in the UK and the rugby competition that they were leading up to. And it's kind of a two-hander. It talks about the personal story of the filmmaker, who happens to be an Aussie, who was a former television reporter who relocated to the UK. Amon Ashton Atkinson is his name. And he got involved with the Steelers and just saw a really wonderful story there to tell. So he also put together this fantastic documentary that we reviewed that came to us via the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival. So yeah, this was definitely a film for me that had a lot of impact in a lot of different ways.
And it is a wonderful long form interview to please check out, and we'll put a link when we upload the podcast. Tell us, why did it resonate for you?
Yeah, so we were, you know, being Melbourne based, we're in the middle of one of our many lockdowns, and we'd been kind of in that space for about a year. So recording and working remotely for the show, and just, you know, there was so much content on offer. But in terms of what was coming out in films, it was a bit hit and miss. So when this one kind of came up on our radar, I was really excited for it. It was filmed and produced in advance of COVID and everything. So it was kind of like a nice look at what we had and what I was hoping we would have again, which is kind of turning out to be the case in some ways. But as a story, it was just so fascinating. And I'm a Kiwi originally, and I grew up, you know, with rugby, and there was a lot of parallels there with Amon's story and myself. While I've never really played it, I really understood his, I guess, desire as a gay person to reconnect with something that he really enjoyed in his younger years, but he felt got taken away from him as he kind of came to terms with his sexuality and understanding kind of his place in the world. So, a lot of it really resonated with me, and having the opportunity to speak with Amon as its director and one of the people, you know, so directly involved with the Steelers was just such an amazing opportunity.
So tell us about the premise of the story.
Amon's story is, I think, one that a lot of people can kind of relate to. He was a pretty high achiever, and he came out of school and university with a real goal to get into media. And he found it. He got onto television. He was a very well respected media commentator and reporter. But he was still looking for, I guess, opportunities elsewhere. But he also was, I think, for quite a bit of that time, coming to terms with his sexuality and what that meant to be gay and how that could fit in with his life. You know, being a very high profile person, I think there was a bit of concern there for him about how that would be taken in his professional world. But he also was grappling with depression. He was also coming to terms with some issues that he had had with family and his school life as well. So when he got the opportunity to go to London and kind of take on a new career opportunity there, he became aware of the Steelers, which is the world's first gay rugby club, and kind of taking up that his passion for sport and for rugby from when he was in high school. This was a way for him to kind of reconnect with something that he really enjoyed, but on his own terms. You know, all of the people obviously involved are either queer or, you know, obviously understand and respect the environment they're in. So for him, it wasn't just about playing sport, and that becomes so clear through the documentary. It was about finding his people and feeling included and being a part of something and enjoying himself again, which was, it really had such a huge impact on his life.
This is me, 12 years old, joining my first rugby club in Australia. And this is me now. I'm a reporter and a cameraman, so I'm used to telling stories, but I've never told one this personal. Poofta, faggot. The bullying was unrelenting, especially in sports class. So I never imagined that a rugby club would one day change my life.
And you refer to the issue about mental health, but also the wonderful thing about the documentary, it talks about the other aspects of how sport provides regular discipline. It provides meeting people. I thought that was really a wonderful component of the documentary. So it touches on exploring the general benefits of being involved in sport. And then certainly for our community, where we're often shut out of sport. And he touches on that as well, doesn't he? He has some pretty harrowing stories to tell about that.
He really does. And I think the other thing that comes through or came through for me was that we meet a lot of his teammates and other people in the world of gay rugby as well, because they go to this international competition. And I think, you know, it's kind of obvious, but he starts to connect with other people who have gone through either similar circumstances or who have kind of had a very different circumstance and come out the other side. But in some way, they had something that they knew was familiar, and they knew that this was a safe place for them to be able to be themselves and have fun playing sport, you know, which is something that I think for a lot of queer people, we sometimes forget the opportunities and the enjoyment that can come with that, because like you said, we've been shut out of it previously or felt like we couldn't be a part of it and be our true self. So there's just so many wonderful messages in the documentary, but it doesn't shy away from the fact that for many of the people involved, it was a long road to get there and they were still working through a lot of things, but it was a great environment to do that in.
Nerves. I found that I had these really great players who had a real lack of self-belief. I can be a really confident gay person but on the sports pitch. That doesn't belong to me.
There's this element of being a rugby player, even as a gay rugby player, that there's a certain masculinity that you need to maintain. To me, that's bollocks. You know, I will be tough and brutal and kick your ass on the pitch. When I'm off the pitch, I will be as flagrant and as flamboyant as I want.
I'd never had depression before, but I was definitely at that, you know, like, I was at the lowest of the low. And just when I was about to walk away from rugby, but something told me, no, rugby can still help you, then the club and this season saved my life, probably saved my life, you know.
So within the premise of the Steelers, and as you mentioned, being the first gay rugby club, they're getting ready for the Amsterdam Bingham Cup, which is a world tournament for all gay rugby clubs. We certainly have a lot of Australian rugby clubs who attend. And then within that, we come across these, our individuals, such as Nick, the female coach, who she makes this great comment about, you know, fighting for recognition. And there's Simon, who had some personal issues that were coming through during their preparation for the tournament. And I think there's a third character, isn't there? There's who's the drag queen?
Yes.
Like such a wonderful aspect of bringing your whole self to your whole life.
Really?
Like, you know, fierce rugby player on the field, but then wonderful flamboyant drag queen. I just love that. I just thought, yes, humans have so many sides to us.
Exactly.
And it's such a great doco to bring that out.
Oh,
the referee often doesn't recognise me. So I feel like I'm still needed to be validated by men.
That is all I want from you for 40 minutes.
You absolutely have it in you. You get more in that time.
So for me, this isn't a coming out story or a story about winning a tournament or even about being gay. It's a story about searching for where you belong and never giving up because you just might find happiness where you least expect.
Yeah, there's so many great stories in this. And to be honest, I feel like, and I know from talking to Amon, he had to make some pretty difficult decisions on what he could and couldn't include in this. But, you know, I think if someone wanted to make a full series around the Bingham Cup and all of the people that go to it, I think there'd be a lot of very happy people out there to watch it. But look, the overall feeling for me in talking to Amon was this was a really important thing for him to share. It was a big part of his life. It was also a way for him to acknowledge both sides of him, the sports side and his professional side. And it was also a way for him to, I guess, repair and recover from some of the trauma that he experienced growing up around school and his involvement in sport, and kind of make sure that people understood, you know, it's a cliche for a reason. Things do get better, but it does take time. And sometimes it does get a little bit worse again, but, you know, there's always people there that will be able to, you know, help you through it and connect with you. And I think sport is just such a wonderful way of working through those things and finding people that you can really relate to and do something that you all really enjoy together. You know, on the field, they play really tough and rough, but off the field, they have an amazing time. So it kind of ticks all the boxes, I think, for me.
Yes. And just to wrap up, I need to ask you this question. Do you play any sport, or do you have a favorite sport you like to watch?
You know what? I love tennis, and I do love, I'm not very good at it, but I love watching tennis and I love playing tennis. I actually do really enjoy watching rugby as well, particularly the World Cup. And I really love any of those big kind of like Olympics or the Soccer World Cup as well. I'm a sucker for, you know, like the pomp and ceremony and just the energy of it all. So I wouldn't say I'm a big sporty person, but I really do. I get it. I love the whole energy of it.
Wonderful. Conrad Brown, co-host of Outtakes. Who are coming back? When are you coming back?
We're coming back in October. We'll keep you up to date with more information about that when we can.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on Kick It.
Thank you.
You've just been listening to Kick It, a Joy pop-up show celebrating the FIFA Women's World Cup. If you want to share the show or catch the podcast, head to joy.org.au/kick it.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.